The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Hey everybody, Rachel Lindsay from the Buffalo News. I cover the Buffalo Sabres for the news. Joined on the Ice Time podcast, as I always am, by a news hockey columnist, Mike Harrington, who is coming live from a very balmy Winnipeg, where he's camping out right now for the first part of the Sabres 6-game road trip that goes, Philadelphia, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Seattle. The longest road trip of the season for the Sabres. Pack well, dress warm, and we're going to find out a lot about the Sabres on this 6-game, 12-13-day road trip that they're taking. So, Mike, let's jump right into it. How pivotal is this 6-game road trip just for establishing some identity for the Sabres as to what kind of road team that they are?
Well, the first thing to me, Rachel, is simply they can't have a death march. Okay. You've got 12 points at play here. They can't have 2 points when it's all said and done. They've just got to basically, to me, tread water here. Can you get out of this thing with 5, 6, or 7 points is really my level of significance here. But the other thing, like you said, an identity here of a road team. I think back to the year the Sabres were 1 point out of the playoffs 3 years ago. They had 25 road wins. They had the most road wins for a non-playoff team in the NHL in 10 years. Well, as we tape this right now, heading into Friday night's game in Winnipeg, which we won't know the result of, they have 2 road wins right now. The entire season. Everyone else in the NHL has at least 4 road wins. Most every team, as I looked at the standings, have at least 6 road wins. You've got to be pretty much close to a 500 team on the road. They've been pretty good at home, but to have 2 road wins in your first 11 games, and not that it matters, it's just a tiebreaker stat. Neither win is in regulation. There's an overtime win in Detroit and a shootout win in Minnesota. So as we speak here, the first week of December, they have no regulation wins on the road yet, and that pretty much is an open disgrace.
I mean, statistically, the Sabres are the worst road team in the NHL. It's not even hyperbole. Like you said, they've got, I'm with you. 6 road points, that would be great for them, And I'm looking at the standings this morning. I saw, again, 4 teams have 4 road wins entering Friday's games. Nashville, St. Louis, Florida, and San Jose. And I'm not even going to use the excuse for the Sabres that the road is tough. It's tough to play. No, it's not. These players are sleeping in Ritz-Carltons, flying charters, seeing the world. They're doing this in an element of luxury. But, you have to win on the road, especially against the stretch of teams that the Sabres are playing against. Winnipeg, which enters the weekend 6th in the Central Division. Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Seattle. All of them are shuffling between 5th and 8th in the Pacific Division. And all of these teams, if the season ended today, would be out of the playoffs. These should be, not gimmies, but these are teams where you stack your points and stack your wins, points, whether they're being wins or overtime losses. But right now, I'm going to use the term I love to use. The Sabres are the empty calorie teams. These are the teams that, these are the team that Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Seattle, Winnipeg's looking at like, oh yeah, we love to eat these teams up. The Sabres can win on the road and they have the opportunity to show we can go to a hostile place. Is it fair to call these arena hostile because I've never been to them? They could go to these arenas out west and prove themselves, and there's a lot of room for proving who and what the Sabres can be. They've got an army of centers and forwards back with Josh Norris, Jason Zucker, and Zach Benson, who's still looking for that first goal, back in. But the problem with the Sabres is what they've proved about themselves so far is they can't win on the road, and that's not a badge you want to wear when you walk into the Saddle Dome or the Rogers Center.
No, and the other thing that happens here is they just don't score. Their statistics, home road, their splits are incredibly different. They have 4 power play goals on the road this season heading into the Winnipeg game. Their power play doesn't convert on the road. They just don't get a lot of goals in general. That's why it was so shocking to see them win in Detroit when they were down 4-1 and score 3 whole goals to get that game even, because that just doesn't happen. Their offensive capability is there. We see it at home all the time. You know, but like you say, well, it's tough to win on the road. And yes, Calgary's hostile and Winnipeg's hostile, and you don't have the last change. Well, no one has the last change on the road. This isn't unique to the Buffalo Sabres. So they're particularly bad on the road at this point this year, and it's something Lindy Ruff and company have to figure out here because it's going to kill their season because right now they've done more than enough at home to get themselves in a good position, and then they go on the road and they flame out and they're simply going nowhere.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
Two of the teams that the Sabres are playing against, Calgary, who they lost to in just a dud of the game for the Sabres a couple weeks ago, and then the Oilers, you know, they play the Oilers on Tuesday. A team that's, you know, looking to kind of get back at Buffalo after the Sabres pretty much embarrassed Connor McDavid, Zach Hyman, Leon Draisaitl at Key Bank Center a couple weeks ago. A Calgary loss was a bad loss. The Edmonton win was a great win. I mean, are we going to kind of see a reversal of fortune, do you think? You know, when we watch these teams in Calgary and Edmonton next week?
Well, it's entirely possible because certainly the Sabres, I think, are still shaking their heads over how bad the games at home went against St. Louis and Calgary. They felt like they got hosed on a goalie interference call against the Flames that really set that game back. But you gave them six goals. Calgary wasn't scoring at all at that point. Gave them six goals. It was a terrible performance. Edmonton was in a middle of a really terrible run as well. They came to Buffalo, only scored once. McDavid had an awful game. You barely noticed him on the ice at times. And now they're starting to roll again now. They're not still getting great goaltending here, but you know they had a 9-goal game against Seattle the other night. They put a couple wins together. They're starting to look like the Edmonton Oilers again. You know, the Florida Panthers do not look like the Florida Panthers at all, partly because of the way they're playing and partly because of their injuries. But the Edmonton Oilers are starting to look the way they're supposed to look, and I think the Sabres are going to see that Tuesday night. And they're not going to be real happy how they played in Buffalo, so you're right. I would say it would behoove the Sabres to get 2 points in Calgary and then see what happens in Edmonton.
Especially after that Calgary loss, I think that was probably the worst loss of the year. I mean, that and probably the New Jersey loss on home ice, you know, when the Flames scored 4 goals in the third period. They made Rasmus Anderson look like a Norris Trophy finalist out there. And then that was after the game where Matias Samuelsson called out the Sabres and said, there are some games where guys are passengers and not enough guys are pulling the same way. And after Matias Samuelsson said that, I was hoping, okay, maybe they'll get this team together and kind of light a fire under their behinds. I mean, Matias Samuelsson is a guy who doesn't say a lot. When he does, it's kind of profound. And now, I go back, you brought up the goalie interference call that wiped out Dahlin's goal against Calgary. Can we talk about goalie interference later in the podcast, about like what happened last night in Long Island and earlier in the week in Philadelphia? I mean, what is goalie interference anyways?
You basically just want to get me ranting. That's
what you're well, you're good at that, Mike. And I mean, we had this discussion earlier about goalie interference, how subjective it is as well. I mean, I think the comment that Avalanche coach Jared Bednar made after the after the game, I think it was a loss in New York, kind of summed up what all of us are thinking right now. What the hell is goalie interference anyways? I can't remember what the quote was, but it was basically something like, you know, these calls are a joke right now. They're some of the most subjective calls in the NHL. With all due respect to the referees, who've got a tough job. I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder at this point.
So I do think the one thing we have to watch with Calgary is that game in Buffalo really does kind of look like a line in the sand for their season. They've been quite a bit better since that night. They've been looking like a much more respectable outfit. So the Sabres certainly are going to see a bit of a different team there than they saw in Buffalo. And, I mean, the Sabres, again, they've been decent since that Calgary game, especially at home. But I think the Flames have started to find their offense a little bit. They're not as bad a team as they've been. They don't have a great roster, but they certainly shouldn't have been where they were going into that night. And I think atmosphere-wise, you're going to be on that portion of the trip, Rachel. There is almost nothing in this league like the Saddle Dome. I don't think there's a building in this league where you see more fans in jerseys than you do in the Saddle Dome in Calgary. And I'm talking most of them. Most of them are the red and black. There are some whites, but you're talking a sea of red. That's what they call it, and that's what you will find in that building. It is really an unbelievable sight. And, you know, I've been there a couple times where the Flames have really pulled a couple stinkers against the Sabres. But when it gets going, and the Flames start moving, that place is an absolute hornet's nest to try to play in. So for a team that doesn't do well on the road, the Sabres certainly need to get an early jump in Calgary, because if you get behind in that place and you could forget it, it's going to be a short night.
So it's safe to say it would be a hostile environment for the Sabres, yes. Especially Edmonton, you know, given the robustness of Calgary's fan base. It's one of the things I'm looking forward to. We're going to talk a little bit more about my first, you know, Western Canada trip as well, too. But let's jump ahead. The goalie issue. We got to talk about this. The Sabres still have three goalies going into the weekend. You know, that could change. We're not going to, put the cart before the horse here. But as Lindy Ruff said earlier this week, he anticipates a couple roster changes going into the weekend, because they're going to take six defensemen on the road. We'll talk more about that as well, too. But let's talk about the goalies. UPL stock's up. Colton Ellis is kind of middling. Lyon's stock is down. I mean, is there a bona fide number one goalie on this team this season? I don't think so.
No, there isn't. Luukkonen is the number one goalie. He's the number one goalie on this team. He's the one they gave the contract to, and right now he's the one who's, at this moment in time in the last week or so, has been playing the best. It doesn't work for anybody to have three goalies. Remember, they got Colton Ellis simply for protection because Luukkonen was hurt. And I think they thought that they were simply going to wave Colton Ellis back, and St. Louis is going to take him back. Well, he played better than they expected. And let's not, forget here. They did like him. They had targeted him for a while. I think they are concerned about letting a young goalie go who's good. Hello, you do have Devin Levi. How does Devin Levi think of Colton Ellis' acquisition? That's another whole story. Alex Lyon got off to a great start. I think Lindy Ruff overused him. And now Alex Lyon, to me, is clearly number three. He's lost six games in a row. Lindy gave him a sympathy pull in Colorado because the team was lousy in front of him, except then he didn't put him in for the next five games, and then he didn't play very well against New Jersey. So I think, to me, my thought is they're trying to see if they can get someone to bite on a deal for a pick for Alex Lyon, somebody who needs a goalie. But the word is out on Alex Lyon. He's a great goalie for small pockets of time. But if you're the Edmonton Oilers and you want to replace Stuart Skinner, you can't do it with Alex Lyon. So that's one other issue here. Alex Lyon essentially is a backup goalie who can give you a pocket of games. But right now, he's the odd man out. And I just don't think you should be wasting a roster spot in three goalies. They're
six defensemen going to Western Canada. That's, you have no insurance policy, especially when you look at what happened the other night in Philadelphia. It's a huge risk, not just from the possibility of injuries, but they ran that risk after Rasmus Dahlin's hit on Trevor Zegras Wednesday in Philadelphia. For about 12 hours, there was the debate. Is Rasmus Dahlin going to face the possibility of supplemental discipline from the NHL player safety overlords? And if that had happened, you got to rush someone up from Rochester, hope to swing a trade. I don't know, maybe go, go what, 13-5, which is not, but no, there was no...
Yeah, they would have been able to get somebody up, but the point, you're exactly right. The point is this. Amerks, and you also have to take into account the Amerks schedule. The Amerks are in Charlotte this weekend playing a back-to-back. Now, big airport, so it's relatively easy to get a guy out, but they're down there quite a ways. It's not like they're playing in Syracuse or Utica or somewhere. So they're in Charlotte. I think the Sabres were trying to get the Amerks through that back-to-back, because the indication we have here is that the move, whatever it may be, is coming Sunday. The guy will be at the morning skate in Calgary on Monday. They can't possibly go through a back-to-back in Calgary and Edmonton with only six defensemen. So I'm not sure the move is going to be right now. The move is going to be get rid of a goalie. I think, there could be looking at an IR move. Tyson Kozak has banged up a little. That could buy them another week on the goalie situation. But to me, I think they're almost to the point, where what we've seen now is they have three goalies. They need to play two. And if Alex Lyon doesn't play for a while, so be it. I don't think I'm putting Alex Lyon back out there the way he's looked recently. He's not won in his last six starts. This team needs wins. Luukkonen's been winning games. Colton Ellis has won some games. I can't put Lyon back on the ice.
No. Well, can I give you a couple numbers? And I know what you're going to say when I give you this. 0.899, 0.892, 0.899. That's like each goalie save percentage.
Yeah.
You know, it's 900 is usually the threshold. So Alex Lyon and UPL are close to the threshold, but I also looked at those numbers and thought of what you said, make a save.
Right. I mean, they just simply have not gotten a lot of consistency out of that department. Now, I'm getting more bullish on Lukanen in recent games. But, you know, you still don't know. The soft goal can happen. Ellis has some rebound issues. I do like Ellis's puck handling skills, the way he can help the team out on that front. I just think they got to go with two. And it's almost like I have my opinion on which two, obviously. I think they should be going with Ellis and Lukanen. But it's almost to the point, just go with any two. Pick two.
Pick
and get rid of one.
And run with it. But the thing about Ellis, it almost seems like, you know, even he's still a bit of an unproven entity, kind of like he's flying by the seat of his pants or, you know, riding the waves or however it goes. And you might be able to clarify this. If for some reason he would go on waivers, do the Blues still have the first right of refusal, or is he up for grabs for anyone now? I'm just asking a question. I'm not, apropos of nothing.
I think it was only 30 days that they would have had it. But let's be honest. If he goes on waivers now, there'll be no shortage of teams that'll want to take him. You know, there'll be teams out there interested, age, and he's shown enough that, you know, they can see something in him. But I just think the move here is, at some point, you've got to try to swing a deal for a low pick, or you just, even if you waive Lyon, now somebody's got to pick him up. He's got a 2-year deal. He's signed for next year. Not real likely, but I just think the Sabres, in a way, it's a good problem. It's a bad problem. But Colton Ellis has kind of turned it into a good problem, giving the Sabres another option of a young goalie. Boy, it's a deep goaltending situation. We're talking Levi and, coming up down the road here with Ratzlaff and Lyon. And there's a lot of guys in this organization, that position. They might need to make a move with it out of a position of strength.
Right. All right. So let's move on. Our last topic we're going to get to, and it's a little bit of a lighter note. This is going to be my first trip to Alberta, and specifically to the Saddle Dome, and specifically to the catwalk show. And it's going to be, the last season for the Saddle Dome as well, too. And I'll start by saying one of the things that I'm looking forward to the Saddle Dome. I had a reader ask me over the summer, what building are you most excited to visit? And I said, oh, definitely the Saddle Dome. You know, it's a former Winter Olympics venue from 1988, but it is an old barn. And I love the old barns because those are the places I grew up watching hockey in, the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, the Spectrum in Philadelphia. I mean, I'm going through the old Patrick Division haunts here. Even Joe Louis Arena when I covered the Red Wings. I mean, I remember those buildings smelled of beer and hockey bags and urine and popcorn. And there were these low ceiling buildings and dark and compact, and they were just so loud as well. Is the Saddle Dome like that as well? Because it has the concave roof like Washington used to have.
All right. Here's what I think about the Saddle Dome. I've never been in the Saddle Dome as a fan in the States.
Okay.
I would like to have done that at some point. I think it'd be a pretty cool experience. The concourses are bad. They're tiny. They're tight. They remind me of the Odd. They remind me of the Spectrum. I'm sure intermissions are a disaster. To work in the Saddle Dome, well, that's another whole story entirely.
I've seen your catwalk tweets.
people who don't know the story here, for whatever reason, old buildings in Canada like to build catwalks to their press boxes, and even some new buildings like Bell Center in Montreal, they build catwalks to their press box. There's no elevators. Thankfully, we got rid of Northlands Coliseum at Edmonton, and there's a beautiful elevator in Rogers Place in Edmonton. Calgary, you take the elevator up, you go to the right, you go down the hall, you go up two flights of stairs, and you're at the top of the building, and you've got to walk into this catwalk, and you're skittering on the catwalk, both sides of you, looking down, thinking you're going to expire a terrible death, okay? The catwalk extends from the back of the building over the top level. Then when you're seated, you're looking down like this to watch the game. The lure of the catwalk for people, and you may take this task on if you choose. I have refused. Rob Ray has also refused. When you get in the press box, you can then walk over the scoreboard on another catwalk up a couple staircases. and you are over the Jumbotron looking down on the ice. And that is the way you actually get to the opposite side of the rink where the broadcast booths are. Now, Rob Ray refuses to do that because, first of all, Rob Ray is a smart man. So he can go up. There's a staircase in the back, another elevator on that side, but it's really apparently very inconvenient. But having said all this now, this has become a talking point for all NHL writers. You're going to experience for the first time. What people do not really talk enough about, though, is once you're up there, the view of the game is quite good. It's very reminiscent of the view at Memorial Auditorium in Buffalo, where you're leaning over, looking down. People who have been at many games at the Odd say the Saddle Dome view reminds them of that. The other thing that's interesting, it's the Calgary Flames, right? They shoot flames out, these flamethrowers from the ceiling. You feel the heat sitting in the press box when the Flames shoot out at the start of the game, when the team takes the ice, when a goal is scored. So that's kind of unique also. But, you know, I think back to the Saddle Dome, many great Calgary-Edmonton games with Wayne Gretzky in the 80s. Obviously, you think back to the Winter Olympics. What was the signature moment? Realistically, one of the signature moments of the Calgary Winter Olympics in 1988 was figure skating. Katarina Witt won her famous gold medal in the Saddle Dome in Calgary. The hockey competition back then was not NHL players.
It was the Soviets and everybody else.
Right. It was 8 years after Lake Placid. So the hockey competition in 1988 was not memorable at all.
And you know who was on that 88 team for the United States? Dave Snuggerud, former Sabre.
Dave Snuggerud.
Bunch of college kids, Kevin Stevens, Brian Leach, Mike Richter.
That was the Olympics of Katarina Witt. So there is one more year for the Saddle Dome next season. Then they're moving across the street to Scotia Place. I'm interested, as I told you today, to get your view of Scotia Place, because when I was there last season, there was no steel up. It was just a hole in the ground being dug. Well, there's quite a bit of construction has gone on. As we've seen in the Bills Stadium, a lot can happen in 8 months of construction. So I'm interested to see your shots and some of the chaos that might be developing around there, because it's not a big area, and all of a sudden you're going to build an arena in that spot. Getting to the game could be kind of interesting. But ultimately, the catwalk of the Saddle Dome in Calgary will be remembered by all NHL writers, and you are going to get one chance to get there before it comes down.
Well, I'm looking forward to the whole Saddle Dome experience, particularly the catwalks. I mean, I like taking roller coasters. I've done the vertical zip line at the Stratosphere in Las Vegas that goes from the 108th floor down to the Las Vegas Strip. I've climbed mountains. I've swam with sharks. But am I ready for the Saddle Dome catwalk? I'm like building myself up to this. I'm trying to figure out my daredevil threshold for this.
You're gonna if you've just run down that list, none of which I would ever consider doing. You're probably just
you'll live vicariously through my mountain climbing. So
you're going to laugh at me about all the talk of this catwalk. You're probably going to say it's not that big a deal.
I'll take a video of it and send it to you.
All right.
I might even post it on BuffaloNews.com. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up now. Mike's going to head out to Canada Life Center to cover the Winnipeg, Buffalo game this evening. And I'll pick up the road trip, heading out to Calgary. I'll pick up the last four games of the road trip on the Western Canada Swing. All right, Mike, if people want to follow you, how can they follow you online?
BuffaloNews.com is the place. And on social media, by M. Harrington on your favorite Twitter/X feed.
Right. Now you can follow me, BuffaloNews.com, under all of our Sabres coverage. Rachel M. Lindsay on Twitter/X and R. Lindsay Reporter on Instagram, where I'll be posting lots of photos and video from the West Coast Swing. So thanks so much for joining us, and safe travels to you, Mike.
Safe catwalking to you.
Will do.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.